The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Yes, full gesticulation for you on a Monday, Dom. Welcome back
happy,
to the party.
Monday, party. Good to see you after the long, long holiday weekend. Happy 4th to all of you. Rich working the board. Thank you, sir. Join us anytime. 844-967-2789.
Some of us had more abbreviated holiday weekends than others. Of the panelists here. You know, Joe Biden came to my hometown on Friday, Dom. We were working. We did a live show without you, fella.
Hey, it may have been abbreviated, Crudy, but it went by really fast, man. It's a blur. So what happened Friday, man? Joe came to town, man. I got to know, because I unplugged, except for a few. You know, couldn't help but see a few notifications on my phone. As much as I tried not to turn my computer on. Damn phones! I kind of tuned it out, man. Had family in from out of town, was enjoying the beautiful summer here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, driving, walking all around, got the Cadillac out, man. So I was not paying attention purposefully.
Shocker.
Yeah. But you, Crudy, you were in the room, man. You saw the man.
I did.
Please help me out. How'd he look? How'd he sound?
First and foremost, bringing President Joe Biden to the stage. Governor Tony Evers. And if ever there is a setup man to make you look a little more vital in life, it's Governor Tony Evers. And so anyways, Evers and another guest brought the president to the stage. And then it was a bit of an awkward bro hug. You know, as Biden and Evers try to figure out who was going to hug who. Where do your lips go precisely? You know, those sort of logisticals. So anyways, they figured it out. And then Biden gave what I called a vigorous speech, defiant. The New York Times, I believe, they called Joe Biden defiant. And vigorous was the energy, not just Joe's, but the energy in the room, man. People came to pick Joe up that day. The crowd was there to lift Joe, at least on the north side of Madison. And it was a great crowd. I mean, they were chanting 4 more years. They were very excited for President Joe Biden. Vigorous was the energy Joe brought to the stage. And I thought he did damn well. They claimed about 1,000 at the event. Now, it was in a middle school gymnasium. Let me just say, have you ever been in a middle school gymnasium when it's just packed full of kids and people?
It's hot. And I mean, not the best HVAC going on.
No. And the smells, the smells coming out of that gymnasium. I'm just telling you, after, you know, a couple hours of ruminating, waiting for the room to fill and whatever, no place to sit for many of us. Dom, standing room only, even for the media. Such an urgency to see President Joe Biden in Madison. And so Joe came to the stage. He was quite vigorous. I thought that Joe was great in that he told a couple of one-liners, something about being, you know, 40, but I don't look at her or something. And then this big grin, you know, bathing in the hilarity that was ensuing from his joke. We've actually got some of this sound. So don't let me tell the entirety of the story. I don't want to steal all the vigorous and defiant thunder from President Joe Biden. If you could, Rich, let's get her started. President Joe Biden, we got a lot of this, so let's play it for the people. Let's get Dom excited about Joe's visit to my hometown, Madison, on Friday. Play it.
You probably also noticed a lot of discussion about my age. Yeah. I know I look 40.
And he was just grinning. You know what they call those grins, Dom? Teeth. Yeah. Very toothy.
Something eating grin.
Yes, something eating grin. He had one of those. But I thought he was sort of mischievous, Joe. And the greater sentiment, we'll play more here in a second. He's not going anywhere. He ain't getting out. He was defiant, Joe Biden. Play more.
Let me ask you something. After what Trump did on January 6th, why would anyone ever let him be near the Oval Office again?
Let's get more of the tone of Joe Biden on Friday in Madison. Keep it going, Rich.
Despite that some folks don't seem to care who you voted for, well, guess what? They're trying to push me out of the race. No! Well, let me say this as clearly as I can. I'm staying in the race. Yeah! I'll beat Donald Trump. I will beat him again in 2020. Well, by the way, we're going to do it again in 2024.
Now, as Joe Biden described it, people are trying to push me out of the race. But I'm not going anywhere. Hell no, we won't go. That was effectively the vigorous, defiant attitude that Joe Biden brought to Madison. Let's keep it going, Rich. Keep going with President Joe Biden on Friday, please.
I'm a nominee of the Democratic Party. I'm a nominee of this party because millions of Democrats like you just voted for me in primaries all across America. You voted for me to be your nominee. No one else.
It was a strange plea. You know, I mean, he was there with the faithful. That was a room full of blue, about 1,000, including the overflow room. And I guess Joe did go and personally address the overflow room. But his claim was effectively, I won the primary. This is my job. You can't make me leave it. Yeah. Yes. And I'm thinking, okay, but you haven't actually technically been nominated yet, sir. And there are people of conscience that are questioning whether or not you have the vitality, the vigor to make it all the way to the end, to be Trump. So that is the question he's trying to answer. And, you know, it was jacked up, Joe. I'm just saying. More of it, Rich. Please play it for the people.
What's Joe going to do? Is he going to stay in the race? Is he going to drop out? What's he going to do? Well, here's my answer. I am running and going to win again.
And I'm telling you, it was a fired up crowd. Diverse union people, black people, white people, Puerto Ricans, all kinds of people, all there to support Joe and some to ask the question and see it with their own eyes, Tom. I know that's why I was there.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, and that's what I want to know, Crudy. And thank you for the sound. Thank you, Rich. Thanks for going there and bringing it to the people, Mike. Obviously, he sounds pretty good.
He did on Friday.
He did on Friday.
I think he sounded better off the teleprompter than he did in the Stephanopoulos interview that I made a point of watching Friday night. While it was fresh, he taped that interview in Madison before they left town. But Joe did better on the stage with the faithful. And again, the crowd was there to pick up Joe, and Joe picked up the crowd. It was symbiotic. Less so when he sat down with Stephanopoulos a little bit later in the afternoon.
He doesn't have to make it to the end of the next 4 years, man. He's just got to make it to November. You know what I mean? And I think that's more of a sprint than a marathon for Joe, because I'm fine with Kamala. She's the vice president. If Biden wins and he decides for some reason, God tells him, because didn't he say he'll step down if God tells him to step down?
God Almighty,
my head. God
the Lord Almighty. If the Lord Almighty, he told Stephanopoulos on Friday night, tells him to step down, then and only then he would step down.
Did you come away from that experience with more confidence in the man? If not the campaign. I mean, I think a lot of people's confidence, mine was shaken. Man, I was like, oh damn, dude. You know,
the debate night, your confidence was shaken in Joe. And yes. I would say, yes. rightfully so. I mean, it was like seeing your grandma naked, man. You can't unsee that.
But terrible, man. All right, but he's been out there since, and he's had, you know, the stuff.
He has demonstrated.
Go as good, and he's, you know, good off the prompter. He's got some sleep, maybe. But how about you? What was your takeaway from that?
Well, a couple of takeaways I've had. A, Joe looked good in Madison, at least in front of the public, off the prompter. But I also like the fact he was witty. He was funny. You know, he delivered his lines with a little bit of timing. I can appreciate that. You less so. But did he change any hearts and minds? I doubt it. You know, it's like, what do we talk about? It's a body of work. And the body of work needs to be rebuilt. If Joe's going to stay in this race, he needs to rebuild the confidence. And there are certain things that Joe does well. Well, if you fire him up and give him about 25 minutes on the teleprompter, he's not half bad. In front of a friendly crowd in Raleigh, he was damn good. In front of the friendly crowd in Madison, also damn good. But when you bring teleprompters to private home donor functions, people start saying, that's not off the cuff. That's not showing me anything about the man except the fact that he's got damn good speechwriters. Still got to go deliver, right? But that's not the same as leading. So as a candidate, A, that debate was the most confidence-shaking performance in the history of presidential debates. And he's got a lot of ground to make up. And there are still calls coming, not just from yours truly, but from actual influential people, elected Democrats. I think we're up to 9 Congress people calling for Joe Biden to step aside. But here's a new thought for you, Dom, and the great people of the state of Wisconsin. We saw this play out right here in our great state in the last elective cycle. What if Joe Biden plays a Doug LaFollette on the people? You know, he's the incumbent. There's true benefit to incumbency, especially for a president. Damn near all of them win. Don't tell Carter or HW, but Trump. The rest of them, most of them win. But Doug LaFollette, of course, was the Secretary of State in the state of Wisconsin for like 40 years. His name was synonymous with Wisconsin. So he had the right name, but people were starting to question. Even some of the Democrats, there was a coup amongst the Democratic base. There was activists that ran candidates to unseat Doug LaFollette. But the beloved Doug, he won the primary, and then he went on and he won the general, and then he promptly resigned. And that could be the scheme. What do you think, Tom? We'll talk more.
Let's do it.
More Devil's Advocates. Happy Monday.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil Advocates radio show. Happy Monday to us all. You can join us anytime on the lines at 844-967-2789. Thank you for some cracker. Yeah, man, I saw those cats at Summerfest. Oh, man, I can't believe Summerfest is already over. I'm so sad.
Hashtag sad.
Hashtag sad.
Obviously, the Biden campaign is trying to alleviate the anxiety, and they're taking a number of different efforts to try and convince people, things like the rally here in Madison on Friday. And again, I thought Joe was damn good. I thought he was vigorous. I thought he was, you know, witty, sort of funny that day, flashed his winning smile more than once. And I thought that was all good.
So he had a good day, man. He had a good day.
I'm not clear that the separate interview that he did with Stephanopoulos, I'm not clear that was a good day. The tone set by that interview, Dom, I didn't even feel like it was fair. And I'm not here to defend Joe Biden. Anyone that listens to this show with regularity knows I am a little bit over Joe, concerned? Let's just say. I'm a little over Joe. I'm a little concerned. I have never been more concerned about my political candidate than the night of that debate. I mean, I was very concerned. And I'm not sure that's changed. But watching George Stephanopoulos do a one-question interview with President Joe Biden. And I don't mean, like, we've got some friends down. We talk about putting a quarter in. Judge Chris Taylor, we love you, but you are loquacious. We don't mean it like that. We don't mean, or I don't mean, you know, someone that just, you ask them an open-ended question, they just tell you a good story. I love guests like that, but that's not what I mean. In this case, George Stephanopoulos brought one question and one question only, and he found 30 different ways of asking Joe Biden, aren't you too old for this job? Joe, have you had cognitive tests? How many people tell you each day you're too old to do this job? When are you, sir, going to see that you are too old to do this job, Joe? I mean,
apparently when the Almighty decides to tell him that.
Well, it was an interesting interview. And quite frankly, I think it was off-putting. I think it offset any positive from the rally in Madison on Friday. Nate Silver came out.
Was the response from Biden, in your opinion, then, to Stephanopoulos asking the same question in different ways, not convincing, not what you wanted to hear?
Also correct. You know, there is no, it didn't feel fair to me. I thought there should have been more ground covered, not just, are you too old? Well, I don't think I am. Well, everybody else thinks you are. Let me ask the same question 28 more times. That's the tone of the Stephanopoulos interview. And, you know, the right generally undermined Stephanopoulos because he worked for Bill Clinton, right? Was a press secretary in a former White House. He's Team Blue. Well, unless George thought it was his role to A, make him cry like it was Barbara Walters, or B, quit the race right then and there, right in Madison while he was in town, just quit the race in real time. Otherwise, I'm not sure what George was trying to accomplish. I thought it was overkill. But the answer is insufficient. I felt like Joe Biden came off as sort of unsettlingly uninformed about his own circumstance. He questioned the polling. He claims he was trailing Trump in the New York Times by 10. And I'm thinking, A, if you are, sir, you should drop out of the race immediately. And B, you are now losing by about double the margin you were losing by. And it's never been 10. So the responses he gives, the pushback he gave, A, was inaccurate. B, really didn't make his case for him. And see, there were times like Stephanopoulos said, you know, what happens if at the end of all this, Trump wins and all the things you fear happen? How do you respond? Well, you know, if I give it my best effort and whatever, I'll sleep fine at night. Or basically that was the response.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem to weigh the consequence of Joe being wrong about Joe. Joe thinks Joe is the right guy. But what if you're wrong, Joe? That's what Stephanopoulos asked him over and over again. I'm not wrong. I am the right guy. I'm the only guy. It's the, I'm the only guy. I'm the only one that can beat him. I'm like, that sounds like Trump. I'm the only one that can save you. I don't need another messiah. I just need a political pragmatist.
But is that political practicality, though? I mean, there's a stopwatch, man. The clock is ticking. You know, you got less than 120 days. You're gonna roll the the logistics of the whole thing.
You got a month and a half to the DNC in August. August 18th to 22nd.
Yeah. And the next week it's the RNC here, and all eyes are going to be on that.
No, that's next week.
Yeah,
the Republicans have swallowed their poison pill.
Yes, they have. But do you think, I mean, to Joe's point, it's not just that he's the guy, but maybe he's the guy because the clock is ticking, because there's no time. There's no infrastructure. There's no candidate besides Joe. In that regard, he is the only guy.
What about his vice president, dude? You are completely dismissing Kamala Harris. A, she polls better than Biden. And B, that is the logical line of succession. And C, even those that worry about the logistics, well, she gets access to the campaign cash. She's got her name on the ticket as well. So if Joe stepped aside, the logical choice would be you make the vice president the top of the ticket. And Kamala Harris picks a running mate and they run together. And she gets all the benefit.
If Biden stays in through the end of this week, do you think he goes anywhere? I mean, this is kind of the week, right? Next week, it's going to be about the RNC. No one's going to be talking about Biden. I mean, the Republicans will be talking about Biden. But if Joe doesn't make a change, if he doesn't change his mind, and the Almighty doesn't come calling, I mean, if Joe doesn't do something this week, it's kind of over, man. It's Joe, dude. It's Joe. It's got to be Joe.
Joe called into Morning Joe today. We'll play some of that sound a little bit later in the day. He challenged him. You go and try to vote me down at the DNC. And I have just felt this defiance is a little myopic. You're not seeing the bigger picture, sir. And I hope he will. But if Joe survives the week, he's your nominee and Donald Trump becomes your president. That's my prediction. My prediction, pain. Come back, more devils.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Working hard for you on this big Monday edition. Dom, you know, Donald Trump's taking about as much time off as you. Like 10 days? I think he did one rally today, in 10 man. Days.
I mean, I'm here. I'm smiling. I'm ready to roll. Donald Trump, where has he been, man? He's been maybe truthy socialing a bit, but he hasn't had any speeches, right? He hasn't been talking to George Stephanopoulos.
Well, he addressed the veterans, according to the campaign, on July 4th, Tom. And he did a rally, apparently, about a week ago. But tonight, on Foxy News, Trump's going on Hannity. A little pre-recorded with one of his besties. You know, I'm sure it'll be very journalistic, very...
Yeah, no, former President Trump. I'm sorry, he called him President Trump. If you get elected, you're not going to be a dictator you're going to be a dictator, right? You wouldn't do anything like that, right? Oh, no, Sean, I think I would be a dictator for a day. The guy can't even follow the lead of Sean Hannity, so that should be interesting.
Well, you'll have to make a decision whether it's worthy of your viewing time.
Yeah, probably not.
I wasn't asking you so much as the broader audience, Dom. Those that I can depend on to work a little harder than you sometimes. Anyway, so Trump doing a sit-down with Hannity, friendly turf on the Foxy News, and... you know, we'll see what's next for Joe, but he's been quite defiant. And you know, I gotta make one point. Obviously, Joe did some interviews, and the Stephanopoulos interview did him no good. And if you noted, and I took note of the fact, I believe TheHill.com reported it. Nate Silver from 538.com, pollster guy. Mm-hmm. Nate Silver specifically, after Joe Biden's interview published, when it, you know, because ABC made it widely available. I watched it like on Hulu. It's just a breakout podcast, if you will. He called on Joe Biden to step aside after the interview, after watching the George Stephanopoulos piece. Also, Biden called into his buddy Morning Joe this morning. And if you didn't get up early and you didn't see that one, we'll play some of the sound of that. And there was also these radio interviews that he did last week. And I had our pal Earl Ingram on, and Earl was very proud, and we're very proud of Earl. Earl had the opportunity to interview the sitting president of the United States, man. Earl's like, come on, man. You know, who would have ever thunk it? Now, here's the problem. Apparently, the Biden campaign made some demands of not just Earl, but also a host in Philadelphia to, as they were described, black talk hosts. And I took a little issue. Earl and I talked about that on Friday in your absence. He was on. We played the entirety of that 18-minute interview during the Devil's Advocate slot on Friday. And then I had the interviewer, in this case, since they didn't give us Joe Biden, I had Earl on, and we talked about it, and it was a great experience for the man. But from the point of view of the Biden campaign, you know, it gave him a platform, and obviously it was spread mightily. Earl went worldwide. And Joe Biden effectively was the reason, because Joe Biden went on Earl's show, did a pre-recorded interview, played out on Thursday and again on Friday on the Devil's Advocates and other places worldwide. I mean, everyone was exerting the Earl Ingram interview. And it was, you know, Joe basically addressing the debate and his performance and the fact, you know, I blew it. I screwed up. And he was very candid. And it was sort of a personal moment between Earl and the president. And so that's awesome. But the news has subsequently broke that the questions were provided by the presidential team. And in fact, the talk radio host, who must be an independent on an independent station, we find ourselves in a similar role here, time brokerage agreement and all that kind of stuff. She parted ways through mutual agreement with the station she was at. And Earl, last I heard, did a fine show this morning. So I don't think that's the case between Earl and Civic Media. But what the Biden team was trying to accomplish was not accomplished when the news comes out that both of these hosts were sort of force-fed questions by the Biden campaign. And when the Biden campaign comes out and says, well, in future interviews, we won't force-feed questions because, I mean, you got to understand Earl's point of view. Do you want the president of the United States, or do you want to quibble over who gets to author the first question, second question, third question, whatever the case may be? And we love Earl. Friend of ours, right? I got no qualms with what my pal Earl did, which was basically accept the sit down and, you know, then all bets are off, assumably. Now, whether or not Earl stayed on script, I have no idea.
Well, I mean, isn't that always the thing? And, you know, after, you know, Kurt, you and I have been doing radio a long time, and we've asked lots of questions of lots of people. And one thing I've learned is that you can ask whatever question you want, but you're going to get the answer that they decide to give you. You can ask it again, and you can do another follow-up, and you can do that. And, you know, a lot of, if you don't get the answer you want, you'll see some good journalists will follow up and try to strike down that answer, try to pin somebody down on the answer to the question that is being asked. And after two or three or four times, it becomes evident that the person you were interviewing, if they're not being candid and providing you a straight answer on that particular question that you've asked multiple times, you kind of move on. You just chalk it up to, okay, you're not answering that question, we'll move on. So you can ask whatever question you want. On the flip side as well, and it's not uncommon for certainly topics, if not questions, to be discussed, right? What are we going to talk about? And especially someone like the president of the United States. So, I mean, I get that. And Earl, I mean, love Earl. Congratulations, Earl, Civic Media. That's a great hit. Good job. But once you get the meeting, you know what I mean? You can ask the first question. Then you can ask whatever questions you want. Just like when you were interviewing someone, they will give you the answer that they want. So my issue is access, man. You know what I mean? If that's the only way, and I understand, you know, when the stakes get that high and, you know, certain things, I'm not getting the interview, Rudy. You're not getting that interview because I don't know that I would stick to a scripted format.
We would certainly not get a return interview with the president.
You know what I mean? I got the weed question, man. I mean, I got other things. And especially if I had sat down and got some time to maybe, you know, come up with two or three. Hey, you only got a few minutes. Crew to get some. I get some. You know, you're going to do it serious. You're going to put some effort in, not just, you know, busting chops with our pal Scott Ross. You know, some of these things kind of flow. Sometimes you want to have a little more prep. So for a president or someone along those lines, yeah, I'd come up with some things that I would want answers to. Some honest questions that Dominic has. And maybe Crudy's got his own questions. So, you know, I'm a little torn by the whole thing, because, you know, but it's hard for me to judge, number one, because I wasn't in that position.
But let me judge in this regard. I'm judging the Biden campaign.
Yes.
Faux pas. Bad choice. You don't try to buttress your candidate's ability to go out and do it on the cuff by force-feeding questions to the interviewers. You can have the president, but
put on the cuff, right? I mean, it kind of goes against what you're trying to put out there, right? If that,
which is he's prepared to lead and govern the nation. I mean, come on, Dom. If truth be known, I was invited to go on Joe Giangianti's radio show tomorrow. Joe Giangianti, the regular Joe
talker up in Green Bay.
Yeah. He's syndicated out of Green Bay. He's a conservative talker. And, you know, I said, what do you want to talk about? As people do, right? And I said, you know, I love Earl. I'm not talking about Earl because it's not my show. I don't want to talk about Earl per se. But if you want to talk about the Biden administration, sure. Let's have that conversation. The campaign. Because you talk about asking the follow-up question. Well, literally, you saw the two examples of this. You saw the controlled interviews, apparently, that the White House did with the local black talkers, and they were forced to ask questions. Joe, what have you done for black people? I took more issue with the fact that they're being, let's just say, labeled as black talkers, because I've known Earl a long time, man. The guy worked with me or worked for me and did a radio show on our stations, and it was never about Earl being a black talker. So that's, you know, that's just Crudy's own personal parsing, if you will. But it certainly didn't convince me that the president is more prepared when they're force feeding the interview questions to the interviewers, or you don't get the guy, right? Because what happens? You know damn well, we never got Obama, and I can tell you why. And we never got Hillary, and I can tell you why. And we, to this day, have never gotten Joe Biden, and I strongly suspect I know why. Not controllable. We are not going to stay on script. I mean, anyone that pays attention knows that. So yeah, I know why we're not getting the president. But ultimately, it's a bad optic. It undermined any good you could have had. The couple of days of good press they got from, you know, putting it out there. I screwed up, man. I screwed up. Okay, Joe. Well, I like that. I like that you're being candid. I'm liking that you're having this nice human conversation with my friend Earl. But now it's all undermined by the fact that, you know, this information has come out. And the flip side of that is you go do George Stephanopoulos on Friday after
Stephanopoulos get questions, you know, required, or you're not going to, you know what I'm saying?
George asked one freaking question. You talk about asking the follow-up question. He asked one question. Are you old? Do you know how old you are? Do you realize Methuselah's your younger brother, Joe Biden? You're old, Joe. I mean, that was the only question. So those were the optics over the course of the weekend. Do you know how old you are, Joe?
The answer being, of course, probably, I'm going to say of course, I don't know, but I would assume that George Stephanopoulos did not get questions to ask the president.
No,
right?
I suspect
and
no.
So if that's the case, then I wonder, well, what's the policy? You know, what are I going to do with this anymore? Okay, how long have you been doing it? Who have you done it with? Is it specifically for the quote-unquote black hosts that you're doing that with? You know, I mean, so there, and ultimately what it comes down to, all those things aside, I get the impression that Biden's own team is concerned about Biden. Because if you're not concerned about your candidate, you don't have to worry about doing something like that.
One of the greatest frustrations I've had in radio, Dom, Lisa Neubauer's race with Brian Hagedorn. And Lisa Neubauer was the quote-unquote liberal candidate. She's on the appellate court right now. And her daughter, in fact, is the Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer. And she's got a political family. Her dad's been in politics. So anyways, Judge Neubauer was running for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we all know how important each and every seat on this court is, right? And they hid Judge Neubauer. And I have no idea why. And I've seen them do this to a number of candidates. And who they are, you know, think the consultants class, those that make a living running campaigns and telling people, we can't let the public see you. And I'm thinking to myself, you cannot effectively run a campaign out of a Delaware basement, and you cannot run a judicial campaign for the Wisconsin Supreme Court and not put your candidate out in front of the media. So we got an interview with Lisa Neubauer 3 weeks before the election day. First one we got in the whole cycle. You know what Judge Neubauer said to me? Our new little devil radio studios over on the west side of Madison, still using a portable Comrex and, you know, normal microphones, but still using a travel kit. We just built it. It's like 5 years ago this week. Actually, it was in April. But anyways, March. But she said to me, well, this is neat. I've never been in a radio station before. 3 weeks before the election. They brought her back on election day. They brought her back on election day. Hey, don't forget to vote today. And I like Lisa Neubauer. I love the judge. Hopefully I'll never have to appear before her. But here's my point. When you hide the candidate, when you control the elements and you don't allow them to be a human being, good and bad, faulty and otherwise.
Right, absolutely. Warts and all.
People do not, they don't engage. They don't get excited about the candidate. You can't tell me who to vote for. I've got to make that decision for myself. Let me meet the candidate. And don't, please, tell the interview host what questions they ask me. It's like a bad date. More devils.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the Lions Talk or text anytime, 844-967-2789.
Dom, since you've been gone, man, a lot of stuff has happened. A Dane County judge has overturned the Wankers Act 10. And I can't wait. We're having Scott Ross on Wednesday. We're going to talk about that story in depth with our pal Scott Ross in studio. So I'm
he's back from Spain. All right.
Scott is back. Back, back again. So our, you know, trash tweeting buddy and partner in crime, Scott Ross, will be in studio Wednesday. We will wanker bash at least for a good 45 minutes, I would say.
Excellent. Can't wait.
So looking forward to that. Later in this big show, Dom, John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times, and a little defense of Tammy Baldwin. Tammy Baldwin was the only local politician conspicuous in her absence from the Joe Biden rally on Friday. Now, I talked about the fact that Tony Evers, and there was lots of love in the room. This was a Democratic-friendly room. For Joe Biden and Tony Evers, they were both beloved in the room. But that hug, a little awkward. Awkward. But they worked it out. They worked it out. So, little bro hug from the two chief executives. And Mark Pocan, my congressman, at least for now, nothing that Mark did. I'm just moving eventually. But Mark Pocan was there, and he certainly was supportive of President Biden publicly.
How about my congressman, Gwen Moore? Was she there?
Nope.
No Gwen.
Satya Rhodes Conway, the mayor of Madison, was there. Other, you know, political activist sorts.
But no write-up about Gwen being missing? No, just Tammy, though, huh?
But Dan Bice got all page 60 on Tammy Baldwin because she didn't clearly enough, apparently, to Dan's opinion, you know, endorse the man and love the man and appear with the man when she was on her Tammy tour. And I forget precisely what they call that thing, but she had like a four corner of the state tour planned for the 4th of July.
She was
holiday
out there campaigning, doing her thing. Yes. Can't blame her for that necessarily.
So John will tell us about that. And also, yeah, John was at the Biden event on Friday, so you can also ask him his opinion of the current president. And the current president, and I'm still watching the pool reports from the White House pretty close because Joe was just here on Friday and never can tell. They might announce some new news. And the news this morning, first time I cracked the email, Joe's on Morning Joe. And I don't think they invited him. I think he invited himself. Like Trump used to do with Fox and Friends. I think Joe just didn't impromptu.
All in out of the blue.
Do you see the Morning Joe doing lots of random call-ins? Because I don't. But they took the president this morning. We'll play that sound soon for you. And also, absentee drop boxes. Now that fueled so many conspiracy theories on the right the Wisconsin Supreme Court by a 4-3, and it's the ideological 4-3 you would expect, the four liberals and the three conservatives voting on opposite sides. But absentee drop boxes have been restored, and as the majority opinion stated, Dom, you don't have to put them out there, but you can. You can use secured locked drop boxes as a means to collect absentee ballots. So there'll be all sorts of conspiracy theories after Trump loses the state of Wisconsin. Now, if he wins, you'll never hear boo. But if he loses, if he loses, there could be riots or coups or worse, Dom.
Oh, so, you mean again?
Since you've been gone. 844-967-2789. Also, got some patient callers like Jack from Racine. Jack, welcome to the Devil's Advocates. What do you got this big Monday?
Hi, Jack. Hello, Jack. We lose Jack?
I'm not sure. We had some phone issues on Friday. We should check that out. But right, maybe we let Jack stew on the back burner too long. He might have cooked the frog or something.
844-967-2789.
So we're going to play the impromptu Joe Biden joined the Morning Joe. And, you know, Joe Biden, you could join this program anytime you want to. 844.
We take all callers and they're lightly screened by Rich.
967-2789. They are lightly screened. Barely. Barely. As long as you're coherent. And if Joe Biden, if you call, we won't hold you to that standard, sir.
We don't have enough time to get into the Joe Biden sound on Morning Joe today.
Well, we will at 4 o'clock.
No, not okay. All right.
Yeah, we're going to do that next. I'm gonna let people savor it with us. I have not heard Joe on Joe yet.
No, Joe I haven't on the heard Morning Joe, on Joe either. Yes,
this,
Joe on Morning Joe.
So I did hear Joe in
Madison.
Are you
a fan of Morning Joe? Are you a fan of Morning
Joe?
Yeah,
pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I see Morning Joe kind of like I see Charlie Sykes, and he's a frequent contributor to the round table, table discussions. But, you know, it's funny to me that MSNBC has kind of adopted this former Republican anti-Trump host strategy. I mean, Nicole Wallace co-chaired the McCain campaign. She's one of the hosts. You've got, I'm not going to enumerate all the shows, but Morning Joe was a Republican congressman, you know, but if you don't like Trump, that's good enough for me. The enemy of my enemy is my friend, Dom. I once said that to Tony Evers regarding Scott Walker. I can't imagine why he does not come on the show more frequently.
I don't even know. It's so weird. It's so weird. Can't be us, man. Can't be us. We're just two lovable guys.
One of us is.
And Rich.
And Rich. Come back. More lovable Devil's Advocates. You know you love us. You listen each and every day, just 3 hours. It's the first Devil's Commandment.
It is.
The 4 o'clock hour. Joe on the Morning Joe. Get your cup of coffee. Get your popcorn. Come on back. Join us. More Devil's Advocates. Since you've been